And I go back with Peter some time, close to 20 years, actually. And I can say that he's someone who always leaves a mark. And some of you can attest to this, I know. Always leaves a mark, sometimes in red, on where he's been. And he definitely had a positive impact on the development of the Duff's poetry series. When I first met him, he was actually a student at the University of Missouri and had started a literary magazine there that was called Image, which outlived his stay at the university and actually became very interesting little magazine in the noble history of American small magazines. Some of you know him as a television producer and director who does both documentary and commercial work and now is branching into film work. In fact, this is kind of a swan song for now for Peter to this area, because he's going to go out to the great land of La La Films, and we expect to him to make his mark there. You're going to hear, many of you not familiar with his poetry will hear a very different side of Peter tonight, the poet's side, and a lot of the work that you'll hear will come out of the subconscious, because Peter, some of the poets that have had an impact on him and who echo in his works are James Wright, Pablo Neruda, the great Chilean poet, who he's done translations of poems by Neruda, and locally Howard Schwartz, a teacher back there at University of Missouri, who I think is one of the forces that opened up the whole realm of dream as an area for human expression, human exploration, images from that are meaningful images that inhabit our individual and collective subconsciouses. So you'll hear some of that side of Peter. Anybody who knows Peter knows he's an extraordinary person. Whatever he does well. And so I just ask you to open yourself to still and yet another side of Peter Carlos.
God, I feel so old. 20 years. 20 years. Has been a long time. I'm not going to be up here long, because I have to go to the bathroom for one thing. So I'm going to try to keep it short. I'd like to read this first poem and dedicate it to a friend, to Dee. This is a titled poem of my book that was supposed to be out tonight, and it should be out in a few weeks. It's called Dreamfish. Our poles reach out over the pond, small branches growing in the direction of their thirst, and thin lines connecting us with the blue darkness, the bare beginnings of a spider's web. We talk about the fish beneath the surface, century-old sleepwalkers. At dusk, we return with our catch of dreamfish, suspended from a golden string. This next poem, it's a poem that has kind of haunted me, because there is a photo of me sitting on a 52 Buick, and it's a photo where I'm trying to laugh, I'm falling off the car, I'm in diapers, and It's just re-examining a photograph of a fat baby sitting on a 52 Buick. The chubby cheek kid is, or was me, I confess. I remember sitting like an Indian on that black sun, grinning for mother's Kodak, angling my moon face in position. I was their tiny stool pigeon, caught with my diaper down. The man in the blue zoot suit stands behind mother and her flash, making faces, making a fabulous fool of himself. It cracks me up. Probably one of the best poetry readings I've ever attended was right here, and a friend, Carlos Suarez. And I was sitting listening to this man, and he actually read a poem with the word bulldozer in it, and it made sense. So this is for him, and this is the only postcard I ever received from him. The letter arrives postage due for Carlos. And the first part is what was on the postcard. I'm going to Jamaica for the winter. My stomach's bad, keeling me. They can no longer treat me here in New York. You are a fiction to us, a sleazy character right out of one of your pornographic reads, hair slick straight back, tall, dark, and painfully thin, cigar hanging unlit on your lips, mustachioed. I tell my mother that you write long, sad poems about bulldozers and the tango. She does not see the humor in it. She says it's missing the funny part. As we heard earlier, poets get to make up things. So I always wondered where snakes came from. And this is the origin of snakes for Howard Schwartz. It happened one night when the moon was full and white. Adam was asleep in the garden. He awoke, clutching his chest. It was not a rib, but his heart, torn from its cave. Because of the pain, he fell into a sleep deep as the first death, and his arms and legs left his body in search of his heart. They found her after many days in another garden, crying. She was brought to him, but the wound had healed, and Adam had sprouted new arms and legs. She could not crawl back into his womb nor live without his body, so she stayed near him, sharing the life between them. And the arms and legs slithered into the faults of the earth, searching for another warmth. This next poem, a lot of my poems have fathers and sons in it. And usually in my poems, I kill my father, I resurrect him, and kill him again, and resurrect him. And so in this one, this is kind of what it's like to be a father. You haven't seen your son yet, and you're kind of waiting and preparing for him. And until you see him, you're still a son. But as soon as you see him, then you become a father, and part of you dies. This is... And I imagine this son, father, to be standing in front of a mirror. It's called Son to Son. There is that instant when we are hand to hand, face to face, staring at each other like two dumb creatures as our words climb slowly like fat glass balloons. So you just have to face it, take my word for it. I am your father, the old man, the black bear snapping at your heels, the SOB your friends will talk about, the dirty bastard. You must stake your life on it. I am your mother's lover. Therefore, I have drowned the cat, hanged the dog, and taken out the garbage, preparing for your return. Take it from me, son. If you want to make your mother cry, learn to play the violin. She'll love you for it. She's a sucker for it. So this is our parting of minds and limbs. From here on in, I call the shots. You call my bluff. This is a poem. When I was growing up and I heard about poets, I always imagined them working in darkness and wearing sunglasses, berets, and long hair and earrings. And I found out that they really weren't like that. There were doctors and lawyers and vice presidents of insurance companies. And so I wanted to write a poem about myself and what it was like. This is called Obscuridad, which means darkness. I work best in total darkness when murderers are writing in their diaries. Young girls moan softly to lovers. Seagulls hover outside my window, and strange obscene birds peck frantically on the front door with hard beaks, wanting to be fed the sad tears I have been writing. It is this time when my poems fill with the blood of my years, leaving stains on my life. I listen for a single pitchfork to open the silence of night and voices to drag me from this chair. I expect to die in direct sunlight, leaving this world half out of my mind. Kind of depressing. Let me, this is to keep from going crazy, 8 things you need to do. To keep from going crazy, do not read or listen any further. Kill your father in his sleep. Cover his head with a pillow embroidered by your grandmother. Avoid your mother at parties and do not answer her letters. Give your brother a book written and signed by Sylvia Plath and hope for the best. Marry your sister on your birthday. Dig up your grandfather's coffin and curse and spit over it. Burn the photographs of the past and then eat the evidence. Never make friends with a poet. I don't have an Uncle Carlos, but if I did, this would be the real... He would be a real son of a bitch. I imagine him leaving something behind, but not a woman, someone else. And this is from that person's perspective. Uncle Carlos will get his. Uncle Carlos leaves for the States on foot, his life packed on his back. It is raining. Saltillo and the mountains behind him, the desert flattens underfoot. Out there somewhere, Monterey, hot and melting, people mulling, raging war, markets, food. Liars, all of them, Uncle Carlos says, always a good feel for the public. He eats the pear and forgets his life, Roxanne and the dog. The dog squats to shit on cobblestones, his breath burns steam. Rises off his back, he foams at the mouth, his eyes finally flicker hard blue flames. He kicks dirt behind him. The dog mumbles something incoherent and low and spits. He's going after Uncle Carlos. This is a poem. A friend of mine, his wife had a stroke when she was like 27, 28, and he had to take care of her, and she could only say a few words. And I imagine this was a word that she would say, yada. Yada means, it means anything. And It's kind of a love poem. Her voice at my ear, like a hand stroking in darkness. After the stroke, I carried you over the threshold a second time. You in my arms, your sharp nose nudging my cheek. You in my arms, the daughter we never had. I wanted to believe that angels lived among us, but your cruel half-smile, sad and wise, is only half of what I remember. In a past life, we made love. Don't cry. Don't cry. I will be careful. I am nervous too. That first evening of snow, wind, rain, and silence. You say, yada, help me, help me. I don't know what it means. I feel dumb as a rock. It means yada. Only your blue eyes remain and draw me closer. They say, touch me, hold me. I would even kill my mother for you, snap her neck in one quick turn of the wrist. I can't remember her face, only yours, now, forever. Let me teach you to fly again. Make your arms and legs work together. Let me be your voice, your poet. We will start over. Yada. I'll just read a few more. The past. I don't remember much of the past. A word of goodbye, an old woman's song of forgiveness, a knife through the heart, the taste of salt, the sound of rain as it disappears into the black earth. The terrible, trembling, trembling, trembling. This is for my students. I make them write a poem in class, and it's called The Gardener's Cat is Dead. And they all have the same title, and it's kind of fun. But this is a line from Wallace Stevens. The gardener's cat is dead. No keys. Door pried open. The cat. Throat cut. And her blue bowl. Missing. I like cats, but this next poem was a poem that I wrote in Breadloaf in Vermont while I was going to school there. And there's this wonderful painting by John Singer Sargent of four little girls, and they have their own space and they kind of their own personality, and it's a beautiful painting. I think it's in Boston. This is from the girls' perspective. They're imagining this painter coming in, and he's commissioned to do this painting. They're very wealthy, and kind of what it's like after he storms through the house. The day the painter John Singer Sargent came around, the moment he walked into our lives with his palette and paraphernalia and his eyebrow roguishly raised, he let in just enough light to set his image. We knew childhood would be lost among loose baggage in the attic of family albums and mementos. And we would be a family forever, posing and reposing in the fine dark airs of the shadows. I'll read two more. This poem, Snow Leopard. Again, I started this in Breadloaf, and I was doing my wash, and there was this magazine with a snow leopard there, and I looked at it, and there was, I couldn't escape it. It bothered me for days, and so I started writing this poem, and I've been writing it. I guess I wrote it for 2 or 3 years. It never seemed to work until I could find that magazine again and look at it again. And this is, if you've never seen it, you should go to the zoo here and look at it. It's an amazing animal, and there are very few of them on Earth. Snow leopard. After walking alone for days in an amphitheater of snow and stone, some small warmth causes you to stop and turn. And you see him for the first time, high on an icy ledge, and you're caught up as if by an avalanche, a rising river. It has not been easy to keep warm. His eye takes root in yours. Nothing moves, nothing matters. You are drawn downward to a dark land where language is no more than white sound. Together you rise out of water and watch the moon dance on limbs and mountaintops. You swim against the current, beating in blue darkness, and you want to return. And you will return in dreams, because this will haunt you forever. And you will return again and again and again. Boy. Okay. This last poem, I'll leave. This poem, people keep telling us every time we make love to somebody, we're making love to 10,000 other people. And that's not too bad. The problem is when someone kisses you and you're trying to forget it, they kiss you and it keeps haunting you. And so this is a simple love poem about meeting somebody that helps you to forget. Your kiss. When you kissed me, I saw her walking away from us, back into that long black land where she came from before you kissed me. Thank you.